All right, 2 Timothy, let's continue our study. Now, we're trying to get to the bottom, or at least get a little closer to the situation on fear and understanding how much fear can control the things that we do, the things we say, the direction that we go. And too often people don't understand now the difference in fear and being afraid. Being afraid is a good thing. You should be afraid of certain things, like bears. That's a good thing to be afraid of. I was talking to the funeral yesterday. Little Amelia is here. Many of y'all remember that. That's from out in Alaska now, since they've moved out there. And she came over and she sat down there for a little while. And I said, you know, talking about Alaska. And I said, have you seen any bears? And she said, yes. And she goes, and I've seen baby bears. And I said, and what happens if you were to take a baby bear away? She goes, the mama bear will eat you. That's a lot of wisdom. Certain things you should be afraid of. I'm not talking about phobias. Now, some people have phobias and those kind of things. But the Lord put inside you a distinct marker to help you to understand when things are not right. It's called fight or flight, if you want the fancy psychological term for it. I'm not waxing psychological, but it's the thing inside you that says something's not right. You want to train that into little kids. It's real important. Little kids have a sense about them. They may not know anything about an individual, but, you know, they make a joke of it, call it, you know, stranger danger. No, stranger danger. If they're a stranger, you consider them a danger until they prove otherwise. You don't drop that just because somebody's at church or just because they're a preacher or a Boy Scout leader. Or here's a good one for you, playing Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Great Stinking Pumpkin. You don't, just because somebody jumps into that, that doesn't automatically make you drop, oh, well, they must be okay. No, that's where you look for predators. I hate to tell you this, but they survive in churches. You want to be careful about that stuff. And if you're an old man, especially, you shouldn't be offended by some little kid that doesn't take a shine to you. You should encourage that. People come up all the time. This is Brother Peacock, and we listen to Brother Peacock, and we know Brother Peacock, and that kid doesn't know me. You know, just because you know me, let the kid warm up. If that kid has something that's making them, don't make them drop I call it the butterflies flying out of formation. All of a sudden, something doesn't feel right. I encourage kids to scream. I'm not talking about, you know, at an inopportune time, but if somebody's trying to say, will you come help me find my puppy, or here's you a piece of candy, little girl, scream. Right. Scream. Get some attention in your direction. And if he's not up to anything, he won't bother him at all. But if he is, you always want to err on that side. Those are things God gave you to be aware of things. You should be aware of driving a car over the speed limit, especially if you're not Dale Earnhardt or a race car driver or something like that. You should be aware of that, not just because of getting a ticket, but because metal and glass and flesh don't mix. You should have, there's a thing in you that should tell you when you get up on top of a 15-foot ladder and it says, do not use this top portion as a step. You should know better than to go, well, that applies to everybody. No, no, man. You get up there, then you tip over, and then the next thing you know, you're down. There's a difference in being afraid and the kind of fear we're talking about. This thing we're talking about is called a spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear, the Bible says, you're right there in 2 Timothy 1, he said, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Father, I pray that you might help us as we continue this study, that you might help us to overcome these things that so control us every day in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, sometimes the fear of the brethren, of what they might think, will keep you from doing what God tells you to do. The story that comes to my mind is the story of Isaiah. Isaiah is told to do some unusual things. He's called to cut his garment and expose his backside. You would think that that's wrong to do. That's what Isaiah was told to do by God. It was a picture. You know what he said to Ezekiel? He told Ezekiel, he said, I want you to eat human waste. Dung. People said, no, that was being used for... No, it wasn't. It wasn't being used to start a fire. It was being used for the purpose of making a point. And Ezekiel made such an opposition to it that he said, okay, well, here's what I'll do. I'll give you cow dung in its place, but you can't let the people know. I want them to think you're eating human waste. Now, the fear of what the brethren are going to think and make you think, well, now, Lord, that just don't make sense and that doesn't even... Yeah, but when God tells you to do something, you've got to be willing to do it. That's not boldness to the point of stupidity. That's just doing what God says to do. And quietly, they did what God says to do. At some point in time in your life, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to deal with you personally, individually, on something that may run across the grain of other people. That doesn't mean that you have to be a jerk in seeing it too. But you do what God tells you to do, you'll never go wrong doing it. But it's not always popular. For instance, there are certain individuals that are in the earshot of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them, the Lord called Satan himself, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Another time, two boys come and say, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven? The Lord looks at him and says, you don't know what spirit you're of. Judas Iscariot obviously betrayed him. The other three people were restored. The point is that God at oftentimes says that the wrong spirit can come in. And if he's afraid of keeping fellowship with them, the politics with them, the preferences with them, the prejudices with them, I want to be buddies with everybody. Well, you can't be a saved individual and always be buddies with everybody. And I know it's Christmas time. And I know we like to have the facade of that we ought to throw down everything that stands for anything just for the sake of having a Publix commercial or a Hallmark. I can't even say that anymore. But just for the sake of having what we in our minds think is a happy Christmas, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Just because you're afraid, well, what's somebody going to say? I don't know, I've learned this. I've learned people are going to talk about you whether you're doing right or wrong. Can I get a witness a little more than that? So you know what you have to learn to do? You have to learn to say, well, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. And I understand some people are going to like it and some people aren't. The Lord said that about His apostles. They were a little too friendly with too many people. The Lord said, well, everybody isn't my friend. Southern translation, they ain't all my buddies. So how come that it? Because why? I want you to understand that sometimes that fear is what controls. That's a spirit of fear to keep you from doing what God says so you can keep the other people happy. That'll happen to you and your family. I'm going to get real unpopular here for just a second. You start believing what the Bible says and doing what the Bible says and coming to church instead of going to Mother's Day and deciding that you're going to follow what the Lord tells you about the King James issue and stuff. I can assure you there's going to be a patriarch or a matriarch in your family that's going to say, now we don't do it like that around here. Amen. He is raised different than that. Yeah, but the Bible says. Amen. Yeah, but the Bible says. Oh, you one of them Bible thumpers. Well, no, I'm just saying that the Bible's authority trumps your authority. Amen. And then all the way, you're the rebel and you're the misfit and you're the, you know, oh, okay. And then comes time for events to take place and then all of a sudden the family gathers and some people won't even come because of their dislike for you because you stand for the book. Yep. Now, you have to understand that. The Lord said, whoso loveth brother, sister, husband, wife, children, yea, his own life also, cannot be my what? Disciple. Doesn't say you can't be saved, but you have to understand, especially in the South, we're the worst and I'll own it. We're much worse than Northerners are. You get north of the Mason-Dixon line, they don't have quite the blood ties down here. Down here, blood's thicker than the Bible. You know, well, I'm the father. Okay. Well, I'm grown now. And I have a Father in heaven. And my Father in heaven tells me I'm not supposed to do these things. You going to tell me He trumps me? I'm the one that raised you. I appreciate it, Daddy. I really do. But I'm going to do what the Bible says. Now, that can come against your family. It'll come against your friends. You know what it'll do? It'll come against your foes. Because their problem's not with you. Their problem's with the book. And they don't believe the book they claim to believe because they won't do what the book says. And it bothers them when you do that. Now, the fear of keeping that relationship, that friendship, will prevent you from doing. Do you understand what God wants you to do? That's the kind of fear we're talking about. The fear of what's going to be the popular way, the popular conversation. You'll hear some of that this morning in this morning's message. Am I going to be popular with the people? Yeah, not necessarily so. I don't know. Maybe it's possible for a politician to be able to do it. But I don't really know how a politician can be a politician and really stand firm on any side one way or the other. Because if he does, he is bound to make enemies. But a politician can't get elected if he doesn't try to play both ends against the middle, because what he's looking for is votes. All he cares about is getting votes. Well, when I get up there, I'm going to change the government. Well, you've been a couple of hundred years old now. How's that working out for you? That doesn't even hold water. That argument doesn't hold water anymore. When I get up there, I can really make a change. You get sucked into that thing like sticking your finger in a glass of water and pulling it out. And you look up there and say, what impact did I have? You can't even tell your finger was there. Now look, if you will, please, over in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This fear that I'm talking about inhibits you from trusting God. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and it's a hard one. And I understand the harshness of what I'm about to say. And it's a harsh thing. So I'm setting you up. I said, well, good night, man. Get on with it. It's Christmas time. Be happy. Be joyful. All right? Let me ask you a question. It's a hard one now. Romans 8:28 says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. Do you feel that gag reflex hitting you? That kind of... Why'd you have to say that? That's one of the greatest promises to a Christian anywhere in the Bible. It's a passage over in Corinthians that talks about some promises that He makes to you. But that promise right there says the bad things work together for you. Now think about the thing that has hurt you the most, and then be able to say, but God said it's for your good. How's that possible? Amen. You can't wrap it. We just come off of 3 funerals. You had 3 people a week ago, yep. Sunday, yep. Went home to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. 3 people. Miss Pat's husband, Miss Brenda's brother, and Matt and Matt's son. 3 people. How's that working together for good? I don't know what says it does. You know what fear does? Fear says, you can't trust God. You can't trust God. How could you trust God with something like that? You know what fear said? You can't trust God with your life. You can't trust God with your money. You can't trust God with your career. You can't trust God with your marriage. You can't trust God with your kids. Any of, don't raise your hand. I mean, qualify. Any of you had a kid go prodigal? And you've done all you can, the best you can. And you prayed your knees off, man, and you're about war slap out, and every time you're just burdened with it all the time. And the Lord said, for we know all things work together for good. Yeah. Well, Lord, it's hard to trust Him with them, ain't it? Yes, sir. Especially when whatever they choose to do, you kind of have an idea that it's coming back on you like you did something wrong. Boy, the devil will put that one on you. Well, you must have been a bad mom. You must have been a bad dad. Must have been too hard. Must not have been hard enough. Must have done this. Must have done that. I mean, he'll beat the tar out of you. You know what you do? Throw back in his face. For we know all things work together for good. Amen. I know when babies are hatched out, they don't come with an instruction manual. Amen. And I know that some of us, after having kids and you get on up into having grandkids and great-grandkids, and you think you know something, and the older you are, you know what you know? You know you don't know anything. Right. You say, why? That kid, when it hatches out, is different than a snowflake. That kid comes out and you're thinking, boy, I know what that kid's going to be. And that kid winds up being something entirely different than what you thought it was going to be. Now, I want to show you something. What is that? That fear prevents you from trusting God to get you through whatever you're going through. Let me ask you a question. How about a disability? How can that be working together for good? Fear makes you not trust God. I've used it before. David Ring, he was a Southern Baptist evangelist. Don't know where he is now. Probably should check. Somebody said to me the other day, you know he's Southern Baptist. Yeah, I know he's Southern Baptist, but he's got a better testimony than I do. I can't stand here and tell you that if I was twisted up like a pretzel and worried about whether or not somebody would want me as a wife and somebody would want me to have him as a father and allow me to be out and to be a testimony and see that man stand in the pulpit week in and week out and week in and week out and couldn't work a job out there and goes out there and stands in front of people and says to you, my disability works together for good. Amen. Thank God for my disability. My goodness, man. How about a disease? How about a sickness? Does that work together for good? Well, the Lord says it does. Right. You say it can't. Well, I don't know. I could give you several testimonies of individuals that said, well, at least when I'm sick, I'm not sinning. Amen. I mean, I've seen people that are sick and people that are diseased and people that are disabled, and they're closer to Calvary than I am. They're closer to Jesus than I am. They serve the Lord in the capacity that they have. Some of you, you know what? You don't have a disability and you won't hit a lick at a sneaking snake when it comes to something spiritual. You got the ability. You spend all your time and effort being bitter and mad and frustrated with other people and spend all of your energy on you. And the Lord said, for we know all things work together for good. Then we love God, then we're called according to His purpose. Well, you have to learn to trust God. Fear keep you from trusting God. How's God going to fix this? How's God going to straighten that out? How's God? Well, He is or He ain't. You ain't going to do anything about it. You go to the doctor, you get treated. But the bottom line is, God either blesses or He don't. You pray and ask Him to, and if He does, you say, praise the Lord, or do you?
Amen.
You say, well, all things work together for good. The Lord said, okay, good, I'm going to give you this. What do you think?
Oh.
Well, the Lord says, for my good. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't see good in this. Easy now, easy now. He said all things. You're talking against, you're not talking against me, you're talking against God.
Right.
I'm not trying to tell you how to handle your problems. I don't know how to handle the problem, some of the problems you have. But I know this, fear prevents you from trusting God. Well, I trusted Him with so-and-so, and look what he did. Wow, how about that? You know what some of you said? I've heard you say it. Some of you have said on many occasions, whatever I got, Lord, is yours. I belong to you. I'm bought with a price, and therefore I'm going to serve you in my body and soul and spirit, which are yours. Take my life and let it be. You sing that song about whatever it takes and take the dearest thing to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. That's easy to say in words. What if it affects your reputation? What if people are speaking wrong about you and lying about you? See, you find out if you're really sold out when God runs contrary to your reputation. Could you give Him that? If not, don't come for this morning's message, because we're going to preach a Christmas message on giving. But you know what He said? All things work together for good. You know what fear does? You protecting yourself prevents you from trusting God. God said it's for your good. How can this be for my good? Because He said it is. He said how many things? Does He mean all? Or do you want to run to a Greek New Testament and try to get a different word there? Well, go ahead and run to it. Because you'll find out it is all without exception. It's totally inclusive. You can't even get any peace from the Greek. Just take the English like it is. You know what he said? All. You got stuff going on this year right now. This time of year puts pressure. It puts tenseness, tightness on people and things like that. You know what the Lord said? All things work together for good. Yeah, well, Lord, how come this is going on? This is going on? Because you need that. Because it's good for you.
Amen.
But you know what fear does? Fear says to you, I can't trust God. I can't trust Him. I trusted Him to handle this. Oh, here's what you're saying. And He didn't handle it how you would have handled it. That's what you just said. Should I refer to you as the fourth part of the Trinity, God? Should I say you know as much or more than God does? Because if it was you, you wouldn't have put that on you. Well, let me ask you something, if I could, please. Would you put it on other people if you knew it was for their good? You ever realize sometimes God allows those things to come in your life to reveal things about you that wouldn't get revealed any other way?
Amen.
You realize that everybody in here has faults, some of which you know and some of which other people know and some things you don't know.
Amen.
That God knows.
Amen.
And He puts that thing down there on there and says, what you so jacked up about there?
Amen.
Yes, this is going out on the internet. Preacher, this is kind of rough. No, it's Bible. It's just not the Bible people like to hear. Proverbs chapter number 3, fear prevents you from trusting. It inhibits you, your ability to trust God. It prevents obedience. Proverbs 3, verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord what? Man, there's that stinking word all again. You say, yeah, we're not in the New Testament, now we're going to go to Hebrew. Okay, go ahead. But I could save you some time. You know what you'll find the word all there is? It's all inclusive. You can't get any relief from the Hebrew. With all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those three verses are compact. They got enough to preach on for a week. Amen. There's a lot in those verses right there. You know what he just told you right there? He said it limits your ability to worship God. You know, when you're in this fear, you know what it'll tend to do? You'll magnify your own shortcomings and the shortcomings of other people to justify where you are. That's what it'll do. Right? You know how you know you're in the wrong? You're always looking at where everybody else is wrong. My mama said a lot of profound things coming up along the way, but one of the things that she said was, remember, son, anytime you're pointing a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you. Whether you like that or not, that's pretty profound. You know what fear calls you to do? Fear calls you to deal on your inability, your weaknesses, the things that will stunt your growth. Behind. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to learn to step out and trust the Lord. You stepped out and trusted yourself or your own decisions when you got a mortgage. I don't know which one requires more faith, the one signing the document or the one giving you the loan. I'm just saying. Some of you got a lot of faith. You take out a loan for 7 years. You think it's a good thing to do, 7 years or whatever it might be for a car. And if that's what you want to do, that's your business. I'm not a financial wizard and I'm not here to give you financial advice. But it's amazing to me how you'll step out and do that and you trust yourself to be able to know that for 7 years you're going to have a job and be able to have the finances to make a payment like that for 7 years, including insurance and maintenance and wear and tear and all. You're assuming that for 7 years you're going to be alive and be in the same condition you are right now. Boy, you sure got a lot of faith. And then the Lord asks you to trust Him and step out by faith. And you're like, well, now, Lord, let's not be stupid. Let's think about this for a minute. Lord said, well, you seem to exercise plenty of faith when it's in yourself. You don't have any problem trusting yourself when you sign that 30-year note. You have any problem at all when you walk down the aisleway and you say, I do to each other, assuming you're going to be together 40, 50 years later. A fellow said one time, he said, man, I've been happily married for 20 years. And the guy said, that's pretty good. He said, yeah, 50% is not bad. Been married 40 and okay. So I guess every other year was a leap year for him, but I don't know. But I want you to understand there's a principle here. And that principle is that fear gets tried when God says, whosoever will, let him come. The Lord comes by to you and says, will you follow me? Lord, I'll follow you. Okay, good. Might cost you your house and your lands and might cost you relationships and stuff. Okay, Lord, well, I mean, I got you. You'll make up the difference. Yeah, Lord, I if I can explain to them what I'm doing and bring them along with me. Lord said, I'll see you later. Not doing it. Too difficult, Lord. Family. Lord, let me go bury my daddy. Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. You see what I'm saying to you? Fear says, I can't trust something I can't see. Well, you better trust something you can't see. You trusted Him for your salvation. But it doesn't stop at salvation. Here's the mistake in the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much emphasis on Calvary all the time, and thank God for it, and thank God we're saved. But that's where your journey with Him began. Everything that doesn't grow is what's considered to be retarded. And I don't mean that in the sense of mental capacity. I mean in the sense of anything that doesn't grow is considered to not be moving at the proper pace. It's supposed to grow. A tree that doesn't grow and produce fruit is not any good, right? So your Christian life, the Lord said, okay, good, now we're started. Let's go grow up. Do more than have milk. Have some meat. Are you with me? What you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is in the Christian life, it should never go stagnant. That Bible says in John, He says to you, He said, when you come to Him, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's supposed to be something moving on a regular basis. The idea, and some of you are here now, it's like, well, I'm saved. What are you doing for the Lord? Well, I go to church. That ain't for the Lord. That's for you. Well, I read my Bible. He wrote it. He doesn't like, well, I appreciate you doing that for me. No, that's for you. Well, I pray. Could I just stand and testify? my prayers tend to gravitate in one direction.
Amen.
I mean, I pray for you and pray for the people in the church and pray for. But if I were to take all my prayers over 2019, I got to say, it wouldn't take you a detective's degree to look down there and go, pretty easy to see the common denominator here. I mean, that guy thinks the whole world revolves around him, man. I mean, he's praying about, Lord, do this, and Lord, do that for me, and Lord, help me, and Lord, do this, and that kind of a thing like that. How many of you pray like he prayed? So a little bit of work might be in order there. But you know what happens? Our relationship with him stagnates. You know what fear does? It causes you to hesitate. It locks you down. I remember a lot of years ago, it was a bad break-in that took place one time, and a kid got paralyzed in fear. He walked in and recognized what had happened. There's a good chance that the guy was still there hiding in the house, and he got so locked in with what was going on that he froze in fear. It scared him so bad, he couldn't move. He became petrified. I remember getting ready to go in the door of a drug house one time, and we had a new guy that was there, and he wanted to be the first guy and all that, and to kick the door and all that kind of stuff, and a little different in those days. And he goes up there, and the big old moose that was with me in those days, he kicked the door slap off the hinges, man. I mean, knocked the whole thing. Looked like you hit it with a flashbanger. I mean, just blew the door to smithereens. And all these guys are ready to rush in because it's up in the second story apartment. And up there on the top thing, and we're all getting ready to rush in the door, and this guy is standing there. And he just, they're scattering, I mean, like cockroaches, jumping out the window and flushing stuff and running all over the place and throwing guns everywhere. And we're trying to get in there, and he's standing right there in the doorway, and he's petrified. He said, well, he shouldn't be. Well, it was a lack of experience. You got to understand, that's a pretty, he thought he was ready, but when he was faced with it, it's kind of like, I don't believe I want to. Well, you know what happens sometimes? Fear does the same thing to you spiritually.
Amen.
You think you're ready, and the big old moose kicks the hinges off, it kicks the door off the hinges, and you're thinking, I'm ready. And then you see what's going on in there, you're thinking, I don't. And you're paralyzed. You say, what is that? That's the spirit of fear. That's not God that gave you that. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, and come to Isaiah 54. Is it making any sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 54. I'm not going to make apologies for what I'm about to say, but there's nothing like doing what God tells you to do and watch Him get you through it. But you never experience that unless you're willing to trust Him to get you through it. There has to be trust. The reward is watching Him get you through it. Well, what if He doesn't get you through it? Well, He's going to get you through it. It just may not be the way you think He's going to get you through it. Look in Isaiah chapter number 54. It not only causes or inhibits your ability to trust God, but look in chapter 54, look down at verse number 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know what fear will do? It'll cause a magnification of giants in the land. You know what you'll do? You'll start talking about the abilities of your enemies, the weapons of your abilities, to make one man a Goliath that holds an entire army at bay. Now think about it a minute. What was the difference in David and the entire nation of Israel? It was only one thing. It was fear. They were afraid of Goliath. You know what fear will do? Fear will tell you, now, let's be smart about this. Now, let's slow down just a second. I mean, that's a mighty big giant. You ever wonder the difference in Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies? Did you ever wonder about that? Did you ever see what happens? You know, fear becomes epidemic. You say, what happened? Those 10 spies came in, and you know what they did? They scared the people so bad with their witness or with their report of what was going on that the rest of the nation of Israel followed the 10 instead of the 2. One required faith. The other one was run by fear. One said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will give for our life. The other one said, man, wouldn't that be a great thing to die for? I made a statement at a meeting where I was at one, or I didn't say it at the meeting. A guy said this to me. He said to me, he said, you said that when the children of Israel went back, that two of the spies came back carrying a cluster full of grapes and they were big as basketballs. Could you give me scripture on that, please? I said, no, brother, I don't have scripture for big as basketballs. I'm just making an illustration. I said, the illustration is that the Bible says they were as giants and we were as grasshoppers. So I just went that all the way down. The trees are like sequoias and the grapes are like basketballs. I said, they might have been English peas for all I know, but there'd have been a bunch of them. I don't really know. Well, if it's not scriptural, you shouldn't be saying it. I said, well, okay, I appreciate that. But did you get the message? The message is, you so caught in picking, worried about whether or not the grapes are a certain size or not, you ain't about to go take over. You're worried about the giants. You're just making it look like it's the grapes. You're not fooling me.
That's right.
I know exactly what you're saying. You know what you got to be willing to do, ladies and gentlemen? You have to be willing to overcome fear with faith. Joshua and Caleb said, shoot, man. What do you mean? Bigger they are, the harder they fall. Who cares about giant? Did you see the food over there? That's a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, these you folks are starving to death. You're griping all the time about no water and having food. And then he gives you quail and you're griping about the quail. And you're griping about the bread. And you're griping about the manna. And man, you go over there, man, we would never run out of food. Man, you have enough food over there. You couldn't imagine. I mean, they got big old grapes, however big they are. And they got land flowing with milk and honey and that kind of thing. I mean, man, we should go over there. Yeah, but we were like grasshoppers to the giant. He said, well, if a bunch of us grasshoppers jump on the giant will come down. I mean, man, we can get in there and get it. Have you seen the food over there, man? I mean, it's the best smorgasbord you've ever seen. I mean, glory to God. Praise the Lord. With God on our side, man, we can whoop anybody. Well, but those giants are big and they're fast and they're mighty and they're strong. And before long, that thing begins to run through the entire congregation of the nation of Israel. Unto the point the Lord said, let them die in the wilderness. They're going to trust themselves and they'd rather preserve their life than to go after the grapes in Canaan. They forgot the promise when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. You're going to Canaan. If I told you that's where you're to go, I'm going to take care of you getting there. But you know what there was? You know what fear does? It magnifies the abilities of the giants in the land. It focuses on all of the negative, but, well, I'm just not sure. Did you ever realize that you can't put God on paper? Now, preacher, there's a fine line between faith and stupidity. Okay, I agree with you 100%. How come you're so stupid in some of the things you decide to do? And then all of a sudden you want to be careful when it comes to things of God. If God were to call some of you right now to preach, you know what you'd say? Well, it's too late for me to be a preacher. I'm too old. Well, who says he's going to call you to pastor?
Right.
How do you know he's not going to call you to preach and kill you tomorrow?
Sure.
Right.
Amen. You so faithful, are you?
Amen.
I don't understand that. But you're always the one giving the wisdom to everybody who wants to stretch out. You know, well, I just believe the Lord wants me to go to Bible school. Good. Have at it. Enjoy yourself. Well, I don't believe I'd tell them that, preacher. You going to tell me God told them to go to school? You going to tell them not to go?
Right. Right.
Well, aren't you wise?
Yeah. Right.
You're going to die in the wilderness is what you're going to have. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to hold back somebody that's trying to follow the Lord. You know what you're trying to do? Your fear, your unwilling desire to follow God when He called you has now transferred and you're vicariously living through other people. Your fear is controlling you. I don't want things to get too out of control. I mean, why? Because you might have to get off your blessed assurance and do something, or more so, it might magnify your lack of willingness to do anything.
Amen.
I see people all the time. People get out and they get to work and stuff. Better slow down. Better slow down. Better slow down. You slow down. What's the matter? I better slow down. Why don't you slow down? You going so slow now, you look like a cotton picking one of them things that hangs from a bush. I can't remember it. I can see it. A sloth, you know. You. Man, I got things to do, places to go. I know I shouldn't say it, but burn out, then rust out. Yeah, well, yeah, either way you're out. Okay, yeah, but I'll go out happy. You're going to go out, people ain't going to be able to tell you've gone out. You're like a walking dead. Well, you know, I just don't. Why would you discourage somebody from serving the Lord, but you push them into academics and athletics? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
That's good.
I say it unbridled. And I'm intending to be offensive. If you're offended by it, I'm sorry. Tough apples. Why would you sequester somebody in a spiritual endeavor and you try to push them into everything from the military to athletics to when it comes to academics and to be good in the business world, and always put the Lord with whatever you got left over? Get your career, one guy recently told one of our kids. Get your career. There's always time to serve the Lord. Why, you braying donkey, you. My goodness, man, I wouldn't want to be at the judgment seat of Christ and have you and that boy standing here right by you. And the Lord say, I want to ask you a question right now. Which of you think those was more important?
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, they don't always pan out. Yeah, but what a blessing they tried.
Amen.
I think some of that's just you're bitter because you were called and you didn't go.
Amen.
And now you don't want anybody else to go. Don't go. Don't go. We went over there. There's a land filled with giants. Joshua and Caleb. Man, there's a land filled with milk and honey. Man, we were like grasshoppers over there. Should have seen them grapes.
Amen.
However big they were big. You see the difference in how they saw things? You know what happened? God killed an entire nation of people. And let their kids come in. You know who survived? Joshua and Caleb. You know what will get you over fear? Faith.
Amen.
My last illustration to that, I got to hurry. We've got to end on time here today. I don't know why today should be any different than any other day, but we're going to shoot to end on time. You know what happened in the story of David and Goliath? He comes down there. The guy's, David's amazed. David's shocked. David's appalled that somebody hadn't already jumped out and done something. It's like this jackleg's been coming out here at the time of the sacrifice and doing that. I mean, you talk about blasphemy. How come on the cat here ain't somebody took his head off already? Good night, man. Are you kidding me? You know, well, you know, they cower and all that. You know what the guy will do? He's sitting in the ditch. You know what he begins to do? He comes up there and he begins to belittle David. He begins to make fun of David. David's like, hey, I'm not saying I'm the guy. I'm just saying, why isn't somebody doing something? Yeah, who do you are to think you are to tell us to do something? What's the matter, older elder brother? You got a little guilty conscience there? Your younger brother stick you a little bit?
Yeah.
What's the matter, elder brother? Why are you taking it all in? What do you know about war? I don't know. Maybe as much as you do. I fought a bear and a lion and whooped them out there. I don't know if you ever doing that. It ain't wrote nowhere. But at any rate, I don't know why. But I didn't think war was sitting down here cowering in a ditch listening to somebody hollering at you. Why don't you do something? You know what fear will do? Fear will say, well, okay, all right. If you're going to go, you're going to go. Then we'll let you go. But we're going to support you in your endeavor. And so they try to give you their armor. You say, why? They want to take partial credit for if you do, they're hedging their bet. Well, if you are successful, we can say, he's wearing my armor. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. Y'all are like, wow, that's like almost, yeah. What you do is you kind of feed both sides of the thing so that if it comes out in your favor, yeah, well, you had on my arm, my coat of mail. Yeah, that stuff's been passed down to me for generations. Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, he wouldn't have been protected, you know.
Yep.
He's using my spear. There's a lot more in that story than you might imagine. David is saying, I don't want that stuff. You say, why? Because God didn't want anybody taking credit for what God did on the battlefield. God wanted to say, David went out there by faith. He didn't need your armor, Saul. He didn't need your support, you know. I just, you know, if it works out, you know, we got you covered. But if it don't, we tried to tell him not to go, but we gave him all the protection we could. We put him in an armored Humvee and he got blowed up by an IED. But now, he wouldn't listen to us, but we gave him the best that we had and he got blowed up. But we tried to protect. We tried to tell him. We tried to tell him. I think honestly, with all my heart, I believe sometimes Christian people love to see Christians fail. I think sometimes that people love, they get somebody ordained or somebody goes to Bible school and then all of a sudden they're like, well, we tried to tell them not to go. They ain't never finished. You know, they didn't work out. Well, you don't realize when you strap on deciding you're going to serve the Lord, what you're pulling in with you. You become a target for the devil. Maybe the reason you're still going is because you never strapped on anything. You're not in the front lines of the battle, and you're surrounded by people falling all around you. That's why you're, maybe, I'm just saying, I can't speak. I can say for myself, there's a lot of difference in being in the battle and watching the battle.
Amen.
Being in the battle says, here I am, Lord, I'll serve. And man, when you do that, I got news for you. You all of a sudden get dotted. Y'all been here around long enough by now to know what that is. The laser's on you. Can't get that thing off of you. You say, what? The devil's got you in his crosshairs. And there's pressures you can't even put on paper. And the Lord says, you trust me, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, I don't see how you're going to get out of this one. Well, I've gotten you out of some other ones. Well, yes, sir, Lord, but man, I'm going to tell you what, I feel like I'm about to have a heart attack right now. Lord said all things.
Amen.
You know what fear does? Fear causes you to magnify the enemy. Fear will prevent you from magnifying Jesus Christ because of what you've got going on.
Amen.
You know what it'll do? It'll mock you. It'll belittle you. It'll set you down. It'll dress you down. Who do you think you are? And then you know what it'll try to do? Because they don't want to put any real skin in the game. They'll make fun of you because you put some skin in the game. You trust in the Lord. Preacher, you talk crazy. You're going to find out how crazy one day. Seriously, you're going to find out how crazy one day. One day, the Lord is going to come get us. And those of us that are saved are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And then you'll find out how crazy crazy is. And then it'll be like, well, Lord, you know, we thought he messed up here and messed up here and messed up here. What you don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, is success is in the struggle. It's not always in the victory. It's in trusting the Lord along the way. Leaning not to your own understanding and in all your ways. Yeah. Leaning not to your own what? You've got it figured out, don't you? The Lord said, well, I sent it to you. Why are you trying so hard to get rid of it? That's hard, isn't it? The Lord said, I sent it to you. All things. Right? Why are you trying so hard to work it all out? Well, Lord, I mean, you needed it. Why me, Lord? You never been there before? My goodness, folks, I don't get it. Maybe I'm the only one that's been there. You never been there before? It ain't always death and divorce. Sometimes it's the stinking little minnows that are just biting you all the time, that are just... they're not taking big hugs. It ain't a shark. They're just little, just menace. Just telephone ringing, telephone ringing, telephone ringing, telephone ringing, telephone ringing, telephone ringing. Gnats, flying teeth. Come on, Lord. Lord said, yeah, you got too much energy. You need to expend some energy. Yeah. Sure. Some people will fight this morning. They'll fight coming to church. You know why? Because whatever is in their life, God allowed, and they stop doing what they consider them to be doing for the Lord because they're telling the Lord, well, if that's how you're going to treat me, and you're not fooling me, your problem is not with people. Your problem's with the Lord. So you know what they say? I ain't going. I ain't giving. I ain't doing. Okay. Nothing I can do about it. But you know what you're doing? You're magnifying the enemy. What she said, what he said, what they said, what he did, that stupid idiot preacher, that thing, magnifying the enemy. Getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you're afraid of the giants in the land. And the Lord said, why don't you magnify me? Why don't you lift me up?
Yep. Amen.
Now I'm going to show you the illustration and I'll close. Here's what happens. What does David do? David steps out on that battlefield and he said, I come to you in the name of
the Lord.
The battle was won the moment he said that.
Amen.
Not when he slung the rock.
Yeah.
Because why?
Amen.
He magnified the Lord.
Amen.